All right, now we'll be joined by Patrick Colbeck and Sandy, representing Michigan. Patrick Colbeck is no stranger. He was in our documentary, Absolute Proof. Sandy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, Brant. Good to see you, Brandon.
And you worked on a lot of these slides.
The ones that are broken are usually mine, as you guys know.
Well, it's a lot of work.
I'll tell you, Colorado and Wyoming, they look the same at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to talk a little bit about explaining this, and some of the stuff I alluded to when we were talking about Antrim County. I want to hit that first because it's central to this theme of addressing these machines. And if you look into the first slide here, and I'm going to blow through the same slides that I was advising Brandon backstage not to blow through, so just so you guys know. All right, first one I wanted to sit there and highlight, that diagram of that chip is that chip that I was talking about. That's that 4G wireless modem that's embedded on ESNS DS200 machine in the state of Michigan. And as soon as that machine turns on, it's saying, hello, internet, here I am. The second slide is why the first slide, or the second picture is why that first picture is a big deal. And this, I got to give street cred to Lady Draza Smith. Draza said, you know, this is a plot of the cumulative votes on election night, and every state has something called an Edison Zero, and we've heard about that from a few of the other states already. But in Michigan, that Edison Zero occurred at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's where the cumulative votes kept going up and up and up, as you would expect them to do, and then all of a sudden they went down to zero. But then they popped back up again and kept on going. Well, from an engineer geek perspective like myself and Lady Draza, that's an indication that you are changing the set point on a digital controller known as a PID controller. The next corner, the last little graphic there is the fact that a week before our primary election, we already knew the election results in Michigan because they had already posted it up on various TV station websites. At the very least, that should deserve a bit of an explanation, don't you think?
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. Here's something, though, I really want to drive home that's very concerning. This is something that we just discovered over the last week. And it's through some records called the cast vote record that you're going to hear a lot about tomorrow with Jeff O'Donnell and Mike. But this cast vote record says it essentially reads what was scanned on a given tabulator in order, talks about the ballot type and everything else, and then it tells you how the votes on that ballot were allocated. Well, just in a little bit of analysis here, and it was brought to my attention that in Macomb County, we had in Chesterfield Township, we had 23 straight ticket Republican votes that were actually given the presidential vote to Joe Biden. Mm. All right, and in my hometown of Canton, right before I left, I decided to check that out. Turned out that there were 113 straight ticket Republican votes where the presidential vote went to Joe Biden. And I don't know if he switched parties at the time and that's what got him confused, but there is no reasonable explanation for that except machine error. There is no other reason for that. And just to be fair, there were Democrat straight tickets that were given to President Trump. But I'll tell you, guess who won on that swap? Joe Biden. So guys, that is serious. That's a concern. The next little square here talks about something that our friends out of Gateway Pundit have got the video for something that I was an eyewitness to, and that's the late night ballot deliveries out at the TCS Center. Anything that's not delivered to the clerk's office by 8 o'clock in the evening is supposed to not be counted. They were counting a lot more than that. And I'll tell you, the folks out of 2000 Mules, we had people reviewing the video associated with that, looking at the drop boxes. The official story for those ballots that were dropped off at the back of the TCS Center was that they were just last-minute drop box pickups. Well, our meddling kids reviewing all these videos, they counted a maximum of 1,800 ballots that were dropped off between the time period they stated. There are about 18,000 ballots dropped off with this van. So, once again, somebody's got some splaining to do. Mm. And then the last thing I just want to highlight, we've got a requirement in our contracts with the state of Michigan to our voting system manufacturers like Dominion, ESNS, and Hart Systems. Every single one of them requires integration between the voting systems, these tabulators, and the qualified voter file. Why would that be necessary? The votes are separate from the voters. They're supposed to be, right? Why are they connecting the dots between them? So that kind of fits with this whole explain this theme. Now I want to turn it over to Sandy Kiesel with the Election Integrity Force and Fund.
Thank you, Patrick. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our roadblocks. And I've been sitting behind the curtain here listening to everybody else's roadblocks, and they're all similar. So we have, you know, destruction of data. We have the Secretary of State telling our clerks in the state to destroy data 7 days after the election. We had issues where the sheriff was investigating some criminal activity, and the state police went in and took the voting machines so that no more evidence could be found.
We have Sheriff Leaf here, by the way, of Berry County, rock star.
Yes, he is. He's here, so if you want to talk to him, you can hunt him out and talk to him a little bit about that. We also have all kinds of lawlessness. In the 2020 election, the Secretary of State just decided to make up whatever laws she wanted to make up. She decided we shouldn't have to check any verification of signature. She went and sent ballots out to people without them asking for them. She just sent ballots to everybody. And even went back in our qualified voter file several years back, 10 years back, and was sending out applications for people to vote. There's 1,500 clerks in our state, and we're really decentralized, which is awesome because it gives local control. But when we need to work with the clerks, we have to go to 1,500 people. And every time we communicate with them, that's what it takes to do that. And that's an awful lot of people to communicate with. Our legislator hasn't given us any support. As a matter of fact, I had the chief of staff of one of our key legislators tell me that we had radical beliefs on election integrity because we thought that the qualified voter file should be accurate. What do you guys think of that? Do you think that's radical beliefs? So the other thing is, in our state, none of our data is available to any of us. So for everything that we want to get information on, we have to do a FOIA. And they tend to just ignore the FOIAs. Or if they do agree to fulfill the FOIAs, they charge us a crazy amount of money for them. And then they don't fill them for months and months and months, if we ever get them. And then they'll come back and say, oh, sorry, we couldn't get you that data, but they won't return the money. They've even told us that they're going to charge us, but if they can't find the information, they won't deliver it to us. And then our voter quality accuracy is terrible. And I'm just going to show you guys another slide here. How do I?
The big green button.
The big green button. So this is our over-registration. So the blue line is our voter registration. The yellow line up there is our citizens of voting age population. And the black vertical line is when our current Secretary of State took office and put us into ERIC. So what do you guys think? Should we have way more voters than there are citizens of voting age population? How about the fact that we've got more than 1 million voters than we have driver's licenses in our state? And it's Michigan. For any of you who've been to Michigan, you know we don't have public transportation. So even if you don't own a car, you have a driver's license. We also have 500,000 more registrations than we have citizens. We had 475,000 people who had a problem with their address. That could be anything from their address didn't exist to they were voting from a P.O. box or a parking lot, or they moved out of our state and are getting ballots in other states or voting in other states. When we sent those out to our clerks to address them, the head of elections stepped in and said, oh, you don't need to look at this at all because we just did redistricting. And when we redistrict, we took care of that, because if you sent a voter card to someone with the redistricting, the post office would have returned it to you if there was an address problem. So what do you guys think? Do you think the post office, the government, should rely on other government agencies for accuracy? Is that not nuts? And then our last one is, our voter registration continues to grow. And as we get close to the 2022 election, we're actually seeing it grow exponentially. So you want me to talk a little bit about the
victories
here?
Yeah.
So we got over 400,000 signatures to get a citizen's law that would secure the vote. It would force voter ID, it would limit drop boxes, and it would limit Zuckerbox or third-party funding. We've also been doing a ton of data analysis, and we learned early on that if we use the government's data to do the analysis, they couldn't come back to us and say, well, this data is not valid, because it's hard for them to claim that their data is not good.
Right. Yeah.
So we've actually been buying the data every month since December of 2020. So now we have a history of exactly what's going on in the data. Let's talk just a little bit about what we found in that data. Three of our current legislators in our state didn't vote. So if you guys were running for office, do you think you'd probably vote in the election and at least vote for yourself? But no, they didn't. Their voter record was just destroyed. We had our governor, who, if you're going to get anybody's data right in the state, you'd think you'd want to get the governor's data right. Her history was altered, along with 4 million other voter histories.
Wow, 4 million.
4 million voter histories. And they disappeared, and then they reappear, and then they change the way they vote. They voted in person, they voted absentee, and it just changes. And they had all reappeared, and then just this month, the data that we got, it appears that they're starting to disappear again. Which is interesting that we had a primary in August and now all of a sudden we're seeing data disappearing again. We have issued reports on more than 55,000 lost or late recorded votes. Our law in Michigan says that you have to report all of the information on voters to the qualified voter file, our legal document, and that has to be done by 7 days after the election. So do you guys think it's still 7 days after the November 3rd election? No, right? But yet, this month, we're still adding votes to the 2020 election.
What?
Yeah. We're still adding votes to the 2020
election. We're still tallying votes.
We're still adding them to the qualified voter file, which is the legal document for the votes in Michigan. And not only that, we still haven't reached the number of votes that were used to certify our election on November 3rd, 2020.
Yeah, I actually have an outstanding FOIA request since December of 2021 where they've cashed my checks. And I said, I didn't even say I wanted a qualified voter file. I said, give me a list of the 5,579,317 people that you say voted during the 2020 election. And still do not have a response. Mm.
Which we paid for, again, back
to
the FOIA.
Which we paid for. So they're good at taking money. What's that Seinfeld episode? It's like you're good at taking the reservation. You're just not good at fulfilling it. Yeah.
So our last big win is we, I believe, are the first state in the nation to statewide challenge absentee voters 5 days before the election for the primary.
Mm. Good.
Because we learned from 2020 that we can't be reactive, right? We all know that. When we try to react, we don't get standing in courts. We can't get cases in front of judges. We can't fix it in rears. So we're trying to get preemptive. So we analyzed the qualified voter file with the data from the absentee ballots. We've created a database to quickly analyze that data. And 5 days before the August 2nd election, we challenged 22,027 votes in the state of Michigan because they had things like people that were 140 years old and people who returned their absentee ballot before it was sent to them and people who moved out of our state before 2020 and are still voting in our state. And not only that, they had their ballot sent to their address out of state. And just to clarify, those aren't military people that have the right to live in other states. We ruled all those people out. We took them all out, or the number would have been much higher.
Mm. Wow.
Doing good work.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having
us. Sandy and Patrick from Michigan. Thank you, guys.